Four of 13, I noted as I pulled into a driveway. Not bad, but you aren't ready yet. She glared at the bracelet and rubbed at her forehead for a moment. I got 6 last night. Keep working, I said. It's about focus, stillness, and clarity. What does that mean? Molly demanded in exasperation. That you have more work to do. She sighed and got out of the car, glancing up at her family's home. It was a gorgeous place, white picket fence and everything, somehow preserving a suburban appearance despite the city all around us. You aren't explaining it very well. Maybe, I said, or maybe you aren't learning it very well. She gave me a glower, and what might have been a hot answer came to her lips, but she shut them and shook her head in irritation. I'm sorry for putting up that veil and trying to follow you. No disrespect intended. None taken. I've been where you are. I don't expect you to be perfect all the time, kid. She smiled a little. What happened today? Happened, I said. It's done. Besides, it worked out. I don't know if I could have read anything at all from that victim, the way you did today. She looked hopeful. Yeah? I nodded. What you found might be a big help. You did good. Thanks. She practically glowed. Once or twice after a compliment, she literally glowed, but we'd gotten that under control within a month or two. She gave me a smile that made her look even younger than she was, and then pelted up the front steps and into the house. That left me there alone with pages and pages of dead women. I wanted to know more about them, almost as much as I wanted to shove my manly parts into a radioactive wood chipper. I sighed. I had to get closer to this, but I could at least do it with a drink in my hand. So I went to McAnally's. Mac's Pub, and make no mistake, it was a pub, not a bar, was one of those few places in Chicago frequented almost entirely by the supernatural scene. It didn't have a sign outside. I had to walk down a flight of stairs to get to the unmarked front door. Inside, it's all low ceilings, a crooked bar, and irregularly spaced hand-carved wooden columns. Mac manages to keep electricity moving through the bar, despite all the magical types wandering through, partly because it's rare for anything but a full-blown wizard, like me, to cause the inevitable failure of any nearby technology, and partly because he does a ton of preventive maintenance. He still didn't bother with electric lights, it cost too much to keep replacing bulbs, but he was able to keep a bunch of ceiling fans whirling and maintain a functional telephone. On the wall beside the door was a wooden sign that stated simply, "Accorded Neutral Ground." That meant that Mac had declared the place a nonpartisan location, according to the terms set up by the Unseelie Accords, sort of the Geneva Conventions of the supernatural world. It meant that any member of the signatory nations was free to enter peaceably and remain unmolested by any other member. The neutral ground had to be respected by all parties, who were obligated to take outside any fight that might begin and respect the pub's neutral status. Oaths and the rights and obligations of hospitality were very nearly a force of nature in the supernatural world. It meant that, in Chicago, there was always a place to set up a meeting with a reasonable expectation of a civilized outcome. All the same, it also meant that you might find yourself in bad company when you went to Mac's place. I always sit with my back to a smoke-stained wall. It was late afternoon and the place was busier than it should have been. Of the 13 tables, only 2 were open, and I took the one farther away from the rest of the room, tossing the papers and my coat on it. I went to the bar, suppressing an instinct to duck every time I walked under one of the too-low-for-towering wizard's ceiling fans. I nodded to Mac. He's a spare man, a little taller than average, his head shaved bald. He could have been anywhere between 30 and 50. He wore jeans, a white shirt, and a white apron. And despite the fact that his wood-fueled grill was up and running, there wasn't a spot or stain anywhere on his clothes. Mac, I said, beer me. Mac slid over a dark brown bottle of his home brew. I opened it, chugged it, and passed him a 20 with the empty. Keep him coming. Mac let out a grunt of surprise, and his eyebrows went up. Don't ask, I told him. He folded his arms and nodded. Keys? I glared at him for a second, but I was half-hearted about it. I tossed the keys to the Blue Beetle onto the bar. Mac gave me another beer, and I went to the table, drinking on the way. By the time I'd circled the carved column shaped like one enormous ugly giant, except for the carved figures of fairy knights attacking its ankles, and sat down at my table, the beer was mostly gone.